You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW. It's the show that connects you to the people and the places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A sweet shop called Fugetsudo sells mochi and manju and other Japanese treats on First Street in LA's Little Tokyo neighborhood. Brian Keto's family's run this business for 116 years, except for a brief period during World War II when the family was interned in a camp for Japanese Americans. Well, after the war, his father restarted that business thanks to the Japanese American community, who lent them money and then later provided construction services on credit when they had to relocate.
Fugetsudo didn't restart and didn't succeed by itself. It had a lot of different people along the way that actually helped it reach this 116 years.
Brian is the third generation owner of Fugetsudo. He caters to a clientele as diverse as Little Tokyo itself, from Japanese Americans with deep roots in the community to tourists and to young, well-paid professionals who flock to Little Tokyo since downtown LA's revitalization.
A little manju store like mine, a little mochi store, candy store, we get from top to bottom. That's why I guess it's so easy for me to relate to everyone of the spectrum. There's no being arrogant in our business. We get all different styles and levels of customers.
Like lots of places in LA, rents here are going up and Little Tokyo is gentrifying. Small businesses that have been here for a long, long time, most of them Japanese-owned, like Fugetsudo, worry they're going to be priced out. So the Japanese-American community here is trying something new. They're starting an investment fund that they hope to use to buy back their neighborhood. Reporter Phoenix So tells us how it works.
Little Tokyo resident Steve Nagano watched what happened to Rafu Busan, a local Japanese art and gift shop in Little Tokyo that operated for more than 60 years.
Rents went up, the building went up for sale, and Shoe Palace moved in, and they moved into like a space that is like maybe about one-sixth, one-seventh of the size they had before.
This has happened to a lot of businesses in Little Tokyo. Rents are constantly increasing, and now the neighborhood is anticipating LA Metro's new regional connector station, which is expected to drive rents up even more. So last year, Steve and his wife Patty gathered a few community leaders in their living room, and the group decided to start an investment fund to buy real estate. The fund's president is Bill Watanabe, the founding executive director of the Little Tokyo Service Center.
We were talking about what can we do to kind of deal with all this gentrification. And the mantra that we came with was, you know, if you don't own it, you can't control it.
Here's the idea. Little Tokyo residents and business owners put together at least $2 million and collectively they buy a local building. Then they charge below market rents to their selected tenants.
We want to make enough money that our investors will get some rate of return. Maybe not the best ever, but some rate of return that's going to make it worth their while. But at the same time, I'd be able to provide a community benefit.
If anybody can pull it off, it would be them, says Paul Ong, professor emeritus at UCLA.
They certainly have the credibility of carrying this off. So the final question is that how will other stakeholders respond to this? You know, will they be able to get enough investors?
The fund has raised $350,000 since August. That's a lot in a short time, but it's not $2 million. And then there's a tricky business of identifying which businesses to support.
In many ways, you have to factor in things that normal businesses would not think about. That is, what is the cultural value, for example, of these businesses? What do they represent symbolically?
Little Tokyo's investors were inspired by a program in San Francisco. That program helps small businesses that have been around for at least 30 years and contribute to their community's history and identity. By that definition, a business like Fugetsudo is a no-brainer. But what about other businesses that aren't necessarily Japanese-owned and have also been around for a while? The neighborhood is near Men's Central Jail. Bail bond businesses have also been in the neighborhood a long time.
I don't know if we would consider them culturally significant.
Alan Nishio is an investor in the fund. He says that any business is eligible if they relate to the values of the Japanese community and contribute to preserving it for the future.
You want people that are owning small businesses to be, you know, kind of stakeholders in our community, and we're less concerned if they are shish kebab shops or coffee shops, et cetera, then we're concerned that they not be the Starbucks of the world and McDonald's, et cetera.
Beyond cultural value, the fund has to grapple with the market. The new metro station might bring in more foot traffic, but will those customers want to shop at these Japanese businesses?
I have a good shot, I guess. We're a candy store, so most people can eat candy. Certain little mom-and-pop gift shops or certain mom-and-pop restaurants, can they survive?
Brian Kito says ultimately whether Little Tokyo retains its Japanese character depends on both Little Tokyo's shoppers and Kito's own children and their peers.
You can assimilate all you want, and yet, you know, if you're Japanese-American, you still have a Japanese heart. Somewhere along the way, you're connected to this district, whether it was your grandparents or great-grandparents. And so I think it's very important for us all to do our part and stay involved with this community. If the later, younger generations don't care about it, then so be it. It'll be gone.
For KCRW, I'm Phoenix So.
Coming up, having a baby premature by 3 months is super stressful, right? How about getting a bill for that for $1.7 million? That story just ahead on KCRW's Greater LA.